You have questions, we have answers. This is Jane Muller.
And this is Ken Muller. Welcome to our show, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane. And today, Jane, we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk about the landlord and tenant process. We had a lot of feedback recently that people want to know about the landlords, the tenants, you know, the whole process. So we're going to break it down, and we're going to start by talking about from the investor standpoint, why it's a good idea to possibly invest in real estate.
Absolutely. Recently, I have a lot of calls from my past clients, and some is the past clients, this is clients, they bought the investment property through me in the years, whether they should sell or should they hold. And also I have other clients and calling, should they buy in such a high market for the investment property purpose. So, that's today I have a show to focus on what's the right decision for them. What things they have to consider before they reach their own decision
making process. Yeah. And to just back up a minute, real estate has typically always been regarded as a very solid investment. It's not, bonds are typically considered the lowest risk, but yet the lowest rate of return. Real estate has always been classified and historically has performed somewhere in between bonds and stocks. So if you look at the graphs and the charts, it's documented historically. So with the lower risk comes lower return. So with real estate, you kind of expect the return to be better than outperform the bonds, yet maybe not quite as much as the stocks. But real estate is a tangible, solid asset. If you're an investor, you're looking for your cap rate, which is basically how much your investment is yielding you on an annual basis. When you take the net operating income minus all your expenses divided by the investment basis.
Yeah.
So, and now that's kind of where the investor is looking at real estate from. That's how they're going to measure the performance of their rental property.
Well said, Ken. I mean, with the investors, right, it's really go back a little bit maybe into the culture thing, right? Like in our culture, and we like to be landlord. My great-grandparents, great-great-great-grandparents was a landlord. So in our culture, we want to see something tangible, understandable. It's more work to be a landlord. The tenant have anything, call you. You have a part-time job kind of thing. But on the other hand, property owner, investors feel more secure. For example, remember the meltdown in 2007, if you own stock in AIG, for example. I mean, who would buy AIG stock is more conservative investors. You want the conservative, you think. But who knows, the company fell. So in that case, with a little work, tenant calling time to time, but at least you have the tangible asset in you. Right. So I used to joke when you buy stock, right, that when they hire CEO, CFO, they never call me, say, hey, Jane, you own X amount, 10 shares, 100 shares of stock, and we're going to hire a CEO. Are you part of the process? Answer is no. But in the choosing your own tenant, you absolutely, the landlord is the driving seat. Right. As an agent, we provide you with all the information. At the end, the decision is land with the landlord's own hand, providing they are in line with the law and regulations.
Right. And then the agent, the real estate professional, as you know, they can guide you in terms of historical issues, where if you buy a certain investment property, what the expected rate of return could be based on the location, based on the prior history.
Because in the market,
based on the market conditions,
if you buy today versus 3 years ago, it's a big difference. The base is huge difference.
The basis would be more,
right? 20-30%
higher. But you got to remember, though, too, Jane, as we experience it now, it's true, the sales prices are much higher, but also the rental rates have got up.
Absolutely.
It's got up quite a bit in the last 6 months in particular. So you can kind of almost factor that in, that truly you're going to pay more for the investment property, but you're going to get a higher return on the rent.
I think also, Ken, that's a good point you just brought up. But also, it really depends on the purpose, what the investor looking for. now the inflation is so high, certain people, you know, they have a cash in the bank and they may not feel comfortable with the cash in the bank, right? I'm not talking about the safety of the money itself, but the value, right? I mean, people want to lock into the real asset and protect themselves from the inflation, as you just mentioned, and the rent went up. So that's like kind of a protection for the you know, investors. So where the money, you know, is safe and sound, and plus they have a really good return, protect them against the inflation. And I did have a lot of clients calling last 2 years because the market has been high. Most of my investors bought a house in 2010, 2011, 2012. Basically, it's the lowest point in recent years in the market. They asked me, should I sell? Should I hold? That's the most question I got.
And that basically, those decisions, I do a lot in commercial real estate, and that's basically the whole fundamental purpose behind the whole commercial is buy, hold, and sell. Those are the fundamental decisions. You can go through all the financial calculations. That's what every investor wants to know, and whether it be real estate or whether it be the stocks.
Those
are the fundamental questions. Everybody wants to know, when do I buy, when do I hold them, and when do I sell them?
Yep. But my advice to my client is, it really depends. You think this depends on you. Where are you in your life cycle, right? For example, if some of my clients thinking about shorten the investment in 3 to 5 years, I would highly recommend them to sell today. Why? The market went up 20 to 30%. Why 30%? Sometimes even more than 30%, because most of my clients bought really in the lowest point, like 11 and 12. So with that said, right, if they don't sell now, if they wait for 3-5 years, the market could go down, could wipe out 20 to 30% increase we had, right? If that's the case, even the profit you made for 3 to 5 years rent, right? The rent minus all the deductions, the cost, the pure profit 3 to 5 years could be less than total 20 to 30%, you know? So in that case, I recommend my client to sell. Sure. We sold, at least 20 to 40 properties, you know, from the portfolio because of that, because they're thinking, you know, they're going to move out of state, they're going to retire or use the money otherwise. So that's kind of the client I highly recommend them to sell today. And the second part of the investor is they may want to change the type of investment. Instead, if say maybe they had a condo and townhouses and they saw the major gain is come in the single family, and they may want to do that.
I've even had clients that have wanted to switch gears, go from residential. They want to explore the
commercial
market
because absolutely.
They see some opportunity in maybe offices and the market, the commercial market.
And the warehouses.
Warehouses, they would be much higher than the residential.
Yes, absolutely.
And the market is, and it's a scarcity, so they wouldn't, you're not going to be able to buy a warehouse in New Jersey. It'd be very difficult with the shortage. And plus
the price
is much significantly higher because you're buying a much larger scale. You're buying minimum, 10, 20,000 square feet. And it's, you're talking millions of dollars.
Absolutely. A lot of time the investors may also want to do the exchange, take advantage because there was a talking about the future could be the exchange, could be eliminated. So a lot of people try to get it done now.
1031
exchange and can try to get it done before the possible changes, right? But with with that, I always have reservation because to find a place to sell place, get them the same time, they have a very strict time limit. So that's going to be always a challenge.
Yeah,
so
we'll have a special show one of these times on the 1031 exchange where we bring in a specialist. But right, there's a certain period you have to basically within so many months of putting the doing the exchange, you have to acquire a new property.
That's right.
For the exchange. It has to be like-kind real estate, which is interpreted broadly, but it is limited to real estate for the exchange. It used to be previously you could do other assets, but now the rules were modified, so it has to be like-kind real estate to qualify for a 1031 exchange.
That's going to be a session itself. So, and another part of the client, whether they should sell or hold, is say a lot of client being a landlord is not their will. It's kind of forced to be a landlord. Why do I say that? Say, for example, someone bought a house, a client bought a house 2005. You know, by 2010, 2011, the market went down 20%. And they only had a 20%, I mean, they only had a 10% down payment or 0% down payment that time. So if they want to sell the house, they're not qualified for a short sale. You know, they don't want to go down that path, or they're not, even not qualified for that path. So they have to literally bring 20% money to the table to close.
Hurts,
who
yeah.
wants to, I mean, they may not able to do it. So they rent it out, to write it out. So the rent even came in not cover their monthly payment. Maybe they have to out of pocket by $100 or $150, $200 a month. It's a very painful experience, but at least doable, you know, and then they, you know, that's a tax deductible as well, because they're
right.
losing money.
And before we get into the whole landlord-tenant process, one of the other decisions that every investor should be aware of is if they do sell it, there's a good old depreciation factor, because as
yes.
you probably know from depreciation, you can, as an investor, you can deduct the depreciation on the property based on the life cycle of residential, which is 27 years. So every year, basically, you can kind of deduct something. But as the accountant would tell you, once you go to sell the property, the depreciation that you previously deducted factors back in to your basis. It kind of like lowers your basis, which hence increases your capital gain. So there is, we're not accountants or really qualified to give you the particulars, but you just have to be aware that there is the depreciation factor that gets adjusted back in whenever you sell an investment property.
Once again, let's go back to the life cycle, right? If you're going to retire or not, you have to know your income stream. You know, the best thing is, I always tell my client, before you do anything, please call your accountant. You have to call your accountant before you make any formal decision. We're here just guide you, to pump some questions, to start a conversation.
Exactly.
So, and then the client, her or himself, has to speak to the accountant to make informative decision.
Yep, that's exactly right. They're the professionals, whether it be for the check with your accountant, check with your lawyer on tax implications, because if you're moving and you're going out of state, you know, there are different withholding taxes and implications. So it's not always clear cut, just because you're just gonna cash in on the market and do your own projections without taking into account depreciation, withholding taxes, and all these different tax laws that come into play.
Absolutely.
All right, why don't we take a short break, and we'll be right back after this messages.
A two-story building, approximately 5,100 square feet, with private offices and open spaces located in prime downtown New Brunswick, is available for lease. Yes, come on down and take a look. The building is zoned community commercial and has many permitted uses, including office, art gallery, theater, and music studio. To learn more about this property and more, contact Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448. A state-of-the-art building, approximately 3,000 square feet, with a backup generator and plenty of parking, is available for lease. Located on the main thoroughfare in Hamilton Township, the building is zoned highway commercial and is suitable for retail, medical, office, education, and much more. To find out more and see if it fits your business and your needs, contact Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448. Attention to developers and contractors. Over 3 acres of land located at the heart of East Brunswick is up for sale. Great location and lots of potential. For further details, please contact Ken at 908-337-9448. You are listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jay Muller on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Now let's get back to the show.
Okay, welcome back, Jay. Let's keep going. We're talking about the landlord-tenant and the investment process. We covered the basic decision-making that every investor has to buy, hold, and when to sell. It's a complicated issue. It's case-by-case particular. So the best advice to give is that you should check with your accountant, let him or her do the cash flow analysis, the tax analysis, so you can see, basically, based on the market, your real estate professional can guide you in terms of the
property
of the market value.
Yeah.
But then in terms of your net operating income and your tax implications, you know, when you factor in depreciation and, you know, if you're exiting the state, what the additional taxes are. Yeah. So we're just here to guide you and not give you legal or accounting advice because we're not.
We're not qualified.
In those regards.
Yeah. Right. On the other hand, right, I have a lot of clients asking me, should I buy in this market, right? My answer is, it depends. You know, it depends is my favorite words, right? Yeah, if you buy, obviously we have to inform our client you are paying 20 to 30% higher than 2-3 years ago. But on the other hand, the interest rate is still relatively low. So that, and the rent, as you mentioned earlier, is a relatively good high. So to offset the increase in the price. So you, once again, even you want to buy or not, you should talk to your accountant too to see.
But I think people, we can give them some general ideas. They can, most people can do a general cash flow analysis where they can figure out if they buy what they're going to pay. Obviously, they can consult with the real estate professional. And also get the market rents, and then they can determine their net, kind of get an idea what their income will be, because by when you minus out the annual property taxes, if they're buying an association, minus out the annual association fees, maybe account for 1 or 2 month vacancy, minus out the realtor commission, then for the first year cycle of a condo unit, they can kind of get an idea, well, if I take my net rent, my gross rent minus out these expenses, this is what I'm going to net. And if I take what I'm going to net and I divide that by what my investment is, I get a cap rate. Let's say simplistically, you buy $200,000 for a condo, and let's say you net your net operating income is 20%, is 20,000.
You know, normally, I'm glad, Ken, I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that because a lot of time, right, the language can be different from person to person. You and I always like to use the net, but sometimes when a buyer calling said, oh, I'm looking for 8% or 6% the cap rate.
Right.
I always have to clarify because, you know, that's a big difference. Some people, believe it or not, they use the they don't use the net. But I'm the person, and you agree, we are the same on the same page on these. We use net.
Well, net divided by the investment is the
cap
rate.
Yeah, exactly.
Cap rate is basically another way of saying your rate of return or how much each dollar of investment is returning you on an annual basis. You know, so
yeah.
If you have a cap rate of 8%, you're getting an 8% yield on the $100,000 you invested or the whatever the investment is.
Yeah, I just want to clarify because a lot of people, the buyer, they're not in financial, they're not in real estate. When they say something, as a professional agent, we have to clarify we understood their message. They're not, just ask the question. And for to purchase, right? I mean, it's really a lot of time, right? Even may not make sense now. The future, you know, is a big part of consideration as well. What are your expectations of the growth in the future? That's something, you know, I mean, it's a crystal ball. It's hard to guess it right. But I did had a client and very, very good at that. They bought in the one market and then the market shortly went up and they sold on a high and they did the exchange to another market. And so they just, you know, a lot of time have to do the homework.
Right.
A lot of research.
And here's a question some listeners have asked us, emailed us. Are there opportunities for investors that that can't afford to pay cash to get a mortgage and to go ahead with the purchase? Can you be an investor and carry a mortgage and make it? Is it still economical, profitable to have a mortgage and invest?
Once again, that's really, I mean, It can be. It really depends what price you purchased, right? And also, it depends on a lot of your credit and your down payment, everything else. So it can be. But it's a case by case. You know, you have to see. And it's kind of like, even if it didn't, it's kind of a saving, right? If your mortgage, if your cost is slightly higher, if you have to put in like $100, $200, $500 a month, you can, instead of putting the saving account, get no interest.
Right, and then you look at it
there.
But there's two ways to look at it. One, you obviously would factor in what your monthly mortgage payment is, and that would further reduce your net operating income because that would be considered an expense. But you look at it like, well, if I'm making some profit on that investment, plus I'm building an equity in the asset, to me, that's another beneficial reason for investing in why real estate is a good investment, because you're not only looking at, but if the asset is, you're gradually paying that mortgage down, so you're building your equity interest.
Absolutely, I totally agree. So, you know, that's really a few points for them to consider. Let's talk about landlord and tenant, because we do manage a very large portfolio here on behalf of our client, landlord client. So there's a lot of misunderstanding and a question about how it works. Sometimes I got a referral from the clients and say, hey, you help my friend to rent out their properties. How's the process? You know, how would you do? You know, what we do is we put a house on a multiple listing, and once we attract a good applicant, we typically run their credit and through NTN, National Tenant Network, and the payment of running the report is borne by the tenant. So that's we need the report. And nowadays, because the privacy, so we may not get the full report, but at least get a score, the credit score, as well as the rental score as well. So the landlord can base on that as a part of the decision making.
Right. And that's all consistent and allowable based on the New Jersey Truth in Renting, which allows a landlord to run the credit for a tenant. And then that's one of the basis that the landlord can deny the application based on bad credit. So that is all. That's all legitimate.
Part of the. But once again, I just want to expand a little bit on that topic, Ken. There was a few years ago, and our old client, I had a young couple, very young couple, and they want to apply for rental, and they. The guy's credit is only 500 something. Mm-hmm. So my client said, oh my God, Jane, how can you present this and want me to consider this couple?
Well, first of all, this is just a note for all the realtors out there.
Yeah.
Any application
or the
that,
clients.
Any written application that's received, regardless, it's not up to the real estate professional to decline it or approve it. It's up.
Yes.
You have a duty to present that application to the landlord. It's up to the owner. You have it just like with purchase offers.
Within 24 hours. And normally
must present any application. Yeah. It's not, and then you can certainly discuss the application with the landlord. But again, it's not up to you to basically just say,
absolutely,
oh, don't bother. You have to give everybody an opportunity to apply for rent. That's part of the fair housing requirements.
100%, Ken. As an agent, our job is not make a decision. We are just work for the landlord. We are the messengers, right? Whatever they give us, I mean, in our case, I mean, we pretty much give to the landlord as soon as we see it. And we're often on the road, but when I see it, we always forward to the landlord for their information approval. But in this case, I was highly recommended. The owner said, how can you recommend such application, 500 credit? I said, you have to ask how to get 500 credit, right? Unfortunately, for the applicant, right, the gentleman had a prior relationship with another relationship and it broke up. But during that relationship, somehow he gave the ex-girlfriend a credit card, right? I mean. And
Wait a minute. He gave the girlfriend a credit card.
Yeah.
Or was she an ex-girlfriend at the time he gave the credit card? That would be kind of. I mean, really.
No. You're right.
I mean, that would be pretty stupid if he gave it to her when she was ready.
No. When they were together, 3-5 years before that, right? He had a relationship with someone, and then he made her as a secondary cardholder.
Right.
So in his name, so because he's helping, she's helping her, she's helping him.
Right. So they went along for
things.
A couple of years, and they broke up.
And then they broke up.
And he forgot about
no,
it.
No, he didn't forget in a range because he broke up.
Right.
So the girl wasn't unhappy. So she wants to, make herself happy, I guess.
How did she make herself happy?
Just went out to spend a lot of money.
Oh.
So he didn't know, and he moved. So he never saw that bill came in. Long story short, that one was with him all this year, right? Even though it's not, he didn't spend it, he wasn't aware, but the account is in his name. She did have authorization to use a card, so it was not mm-hmm. a fraud or anything. So he had to pay it back. But, you know, that's a few thousand for a young
right.
person.
Right, and it adversely affected his credit. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think with all these applications, there's no, a lot of times, we do a lot with on the landlord side, a lot of times the agents will call us up and say, will you accept my client? He has a credit score of 650, or will you accept the client? He's got a, or he or she has a credit score of 580. And it's really, it's a case by case. So you can't,
yes.
So a negative or bad credit score is not the be-all, end-all. It's really to look at the reasons. If there's some extenuating circumstances,
yes.
maybe a divorce, maybe a situation with the boyfriend-girlfriend split, and then one of them ran up the credit card. So you have to look at it every case.
I just had recently, just like last month, we rented out one of our property, the same, you know, which is heartbroken story. The tenant only have about less than 600 credit. The reason was the couple used to own a cleaning service. And during the pandemic, you know, 2 years ago in March, all business shut. When your business shut, you don't need a cleaning service. So they couldn't, you know, they couldn't afford, a lot of bill comes up. So they're well behind. But to their defense, right, they never late for the rent. So now they got a job in New Jersey, from Pennsylvania. They got a job in New Jersey. And nobody look at it because for that low credit score. And most our landlord requests 700 plus anyway. You know, that's just a lot of landlord feel more comfortable if the tenant have a credit score 700 and plus.
And so, we should also mention that sometimes associations have implemented it.
We know one or two
associations in particular mm-hmm. where they pass something in their bylaws stating that any tenants must have the minimum credit score of 700.
Yeah, a certain or the number, right? So, but in that particular case, right, the applicant employer was very kind. They reach out to me. They say, Jane, I know the answer is no, if we just give you the paperwork. But I would like to, you know, as an employer, they are so good and give an excellent reference, right? And then they give me the previous, they give them the current landlord number. I checked and everything. At the end, they wrote a detailed letter, and I checked, you know, the fact, that's all add up.
Right.
So, and then the landlord, our landlord accepted them. They already moved
so
in.
So part of a good landlord agent would be to do your due diligence, get all the information, and then summarize it, then present it to the landlord. The only thing we should say is that with credit reports themselves, per our agreement with NTN, we're not allowed to give the credit report to anybody but us. So you cannot go to the landlord. We can just summarize what the credit score is and if there's any adverse landlord-tenant actions, but we can't release
the report for the privacy.
Privacy reasons, right.
I think now recently, even for the NTN, the report changed. Used to be we get a detailed, and now it's just a summary. So with that, right, it's good and bad. The good thing is a summary, you know, I mean, but the bad thing is we don't know how it created. In this case, we got NTN, the report is low, but we don't know why it's low, so they had to give us the explanation. I think we ran out of time again.
Yeah, we're going to continue this the next show, and we're out of time, but till then, we'll see you next week. Hope everyone enjoys the rest of their weekend.
Thank you.
You have been listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller, airing every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. For feedback and suggestions for future topics, go to their Facebook page, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane, or email them at realestatewithkenandjane@gmail.com. Or call 732-898-2266.